good. The difference between me buzzing and the clear sound that's coming now was Andy Storm stopped by the booth there to adjust a few things. I just want to highlight that for a second, because I don't think booth was his passion growing up, but he took it on because he loves the church, he loves the Lord, and really studied and read all these. I don't know if you like reading technical manuals about sound systems, but he's really absorbed that whole thing. And I know he doesn't like attention, or that's why I want to give him some, just to irritate him and make him sorry he did it. But give him an attaboy every once in a while, a pat on the back. He's one of the fellas around here, you'll never know all that he does until you get to heaven, but he's helping everything to work. He's not the only one. Many other people involved, and we appreciate all the sacrifice and things that go into it. We're in Psalm 84 this morning. Psalm 84. I enjoy cooking, especially this time of year. And one of my favorite things to cook during the fall season is soup. I like to take whatever leftovers we have from the meals that we've had and put it all together in a pot, cut up whatever vegetables might be available, get her all simmering and going. Make sure that the heart of the soup is nice and healthy. It's all good stuff in there. And although I don't put anything in there that we don't like to eat, there's no telling just how they might blend as they get cooking. And so after I get the heart of the soup going, I'll lean over it and I'll drink in a lot of the aroma and just try to judge how we're doing on this. And that's when start adding the spices. If the aroma isn't full and delicious, I go to the cupboard and I'll take a little bit of this and I'll take a little bit of that and keep adding and adding until, that smells just about right. And I found that the taste follows the aroma. If it doesn't smell good, it's probably not going to taste like very much. But if you get that nice, you can hardly wait to start eating at that point. Well, about a month ago, Libby opened up our service with a quote from Lisa Harper, who said, "Praise has a sound, but worship has an aroma." Praise has a sound, but worship has an aroma. Praise would be the words of adoration. That would be the meat and the veggies of our praise soup to God. We want to make sure that what we're saying is good and healthy, that it fits. Jesus said the Father is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. We don't want to worship stupid. You know, we don't want to say dumb things. We don't want to say things that aren't befitting of God. So we should think before we worship. What are these words we are saying? That's why the worship songs are such a blessing at times. We read the words and they make sense to us. They hit home to us. That's right. That's exactly what our God is like and what he's all about. But worship, those are the spices that we add to it. Worship is the emotions appropriate for a God as great as our God. You don't want to come in singing great words, but your mind is somewhere else. You don't want to be singing with a flat emotion to it. You want to put your heart and your soul into this. When we were in the prayer room this morning, Stan led us out in prayer, and he said, "Lord, when you bless, it gives us goosebumps. When we think about everything you've done, it's exciting, it's thrilling. That's the way you want to respond to the gifts from God. You can have a good soup, but if it's chilly or lukewarm, it just kind of, but you get the temperature right." And when we come to worship, we want to get the temperature right. And we want to have the spices just so that it's not just good words. All of us can repeat words over and over again, but if they're just rote, if they're just out of duty, if they're just out of habit, I think it probably displeases the Lord more than it pleases him. So our faith fact for today is, I will worship the Lord with a thankful heart. I'll worship him, but I want to do it right. I want to get my heart in line. I want my spirit to be involved in this. Love, gratitude, and appreciation. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Father, that's what we want to do. We want to have a spirit that responds to you. We want to, when we think about going to church, we want it to warm our spirit because we're coming closer to you now. May you be preeminent in all of that, Lord. I know sometimes we can take on a lot of the jobs of the church, and it becomes our duty to unlock the door or to see that the lights are working or to make sure we're ready for the class that we're going to teach. Please, we do not want to be caught up in the duty of the day. We want to get caught up in the spirit of the day. And we want those things we do when we unlock the door, when we turn the lights on, when we teach our class, we want those to be expressions of worship and praise to you, for you are worthy. So God, I pray that as we hear this message today, as we open our hearts to you, that you will come in with your little tiny screwdrivers to adjust our attitudes just so until they're back to where they need to be. Here and home, work wherever. Lord, we want that right temperament, that temperament of God, that when others catch a whiff of our attitude, they'll be turned toward Christ. And we'll thank you for your help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anyone ever told you, you better change your attitude? It might be parent, boss, friend, teacher, spouse. Have you ever told yourself you better change your attitude? You ever thought, this isn't working, this isn't good, I need to do better than this? Living sour isn't healthy. It's not healthy for you, it's not healthy for the people around you. To have a bad attitude, to be negative about everything, just ruins our lives. Allowing roots of bitterness, tending those roots, will kill us. There may be people you get together with and it's always negative. And they bring out the negative in you. Now, some of that might just be venting and that's good. You need to get it out for a little bit. But if it's just always negative and you feel down after the conversation is over, that's not a good place for you. And if you have any weeds in your yard or in your garden, you find out quickly that you can snap those things off the surface, but they'll be back tomorrow. If you really want to do some damage, you got to get down into the root of that thing. And for some of us, we need an attitude adjustment. And more so than just, okay for today, okay for today, okay for today. We need something to drill down deep and take care of those bitter roots and give us a joy and a peace and a hope about this life. Now, careful when you pray for attitude adjustment, because attitudes can be adjusted in many different ways. Circumstances can change. A flood or a fire can take away everything you own. But then you look around and your children and your grandkids, they're safe. And all of a sudden there's an attitude adjustment. Those things that meant so much to you yesterday aren't near as precious today. You've had an attitude adjustment. But the days that come after that, you got to be careful to guard what you've learned and what you cherish, because life is more precious than things. You take a missions trip, you meet some wonderful people who work very hard and love the Lord, and they're happy, and they only make like $2 a day for all the work that they've done. You come home to all the creature comforts that we have, and you thank God you were born in America. There's been an attitude adjustment. I used to complain about what I didn't have, and now suddenly I see with fresh eyes everything that I do. Maybe you're bummed. Well, we didn't get to take a cruise this year. But then you meet somebody who's giving care to a special needs child and an elderly parent all at the same time. No cruise for them, not this year, probably not ever. And so you, well, you know what, it's all right. It's all right. Thank God for what I do have. And recently I've had a little bit more trouble complaining about minor things ever since that horrific attack over there in Israel where people were killed sitting in their car. Families were burned alive, hugging one another. Others were taken hostage, and the loved ones have no idea where they might be or how they're doing, even today. Attitude adjustments all around. I guess my day isn't so bad after all. Have you ever been in a good mood and somebody else brought you down? They rained on your parade, cast a shadow over your happy valley, peed in your pool of joy. It was going well, and then they walked in the door. Well, remember that, because you have an effect on everybody else. You don't want to be that guy. You don't be that gal, that dark cloud that hangs over everyone else. You can have a positive effect or you can bring them down. So what's your choice? Which would you rather? I remember the story of a gentleman who had a tree out in his front yard, and every day he stopped by that tree before he went in the door, and he imagined himself hanging up all of his worries from work and everything else before he went, put a smile on his face, and walked in to greet his family. You know, first words are so important. First words you speak to one another in the morning. First words you say to one another when you see each other. Last words before you go to bed at night. What kind of an attitude do you want to have on everybody else? If you don't check your attitude, be careful, because it might just, they might take it and give it right back. Or it might grow and you're now relaxed and you vented and you're ready for a nice evening, but you started something that you cannot now contain. Well, you started it. No, I didn't. Yes, you came in with all, well, I had, and if you did, I love you too. Note the psalmist's attitude as he approaches God's house. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You should know that this psalm is one of the psalms of ascent. Well, what is that? It's one of the songs that the pilgrims would sing while they were on their way to Jerusalem. Three times a year, the Jews were required to go to Jerusalem and worship God at the temple for various reasons. There were other feasts as well that were optional, but these were more or less mandatory. And people would gather in groups, and then they would go to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the feast. And while they were on their way, they decided that what they were going to do was sing while they were on their way. You could complain the whole way. That's such a long trip to Jerusalem. I don't know why the Lord required it. We live all the way in Dan and had to come down here. And you know what? We had to walk through the Valley of Baca, and it's just so dry and hot and miserable. And then, you know, it's Mount Zion. You know why they call it that? It's on a mountain. So we got to climb a mountain to get here. And oh, it's so hard. Then they decide, you know what? Maybe to prevent the attitudes from leaking in, let's sing. Well, what are we going to sing? How lovely is your dwelling place. Oh, I can't wait to get there. Oh, I love when we all gather together. Yeah, we have personal devotions and we have family devotions, and our village gets together to talk about the word every once in a while, and that's all cool. But it's nothing like when you get the whole nation together worshiping God. And when those singers at the temple start singing, and when the instruments strike up the band, ooh, got goosebumps all up and down. It's just amazing when you hear the throng singing. Have you ever heard a men's choir? It's absolutely amazing how you can take a bunch of frogs and come out with a glorious sound like that. And not all of them are, some of them certainly can sing very well, but others are just like, and it's just like God knows how to take all the flats and all the sharps and put them together until they come out just right. And when you get a large group of people, I don't know if you've been to seminars or things like that, where the people are just into worship and the sound just resonates. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be a part of. And you get caught up in the spirit of worship in the middle of all that. Well, that's what they were thinking of while they're doing a hard journey. They're thinking about the destination when we get there. Now, that's how to come to church. That's how to approach God. Oh, I can't wait to get to church. Oh, it's peaceful there. There's strength as we wait. I always hear something that makes my day, that gives me hope, that gives me instruction, another piece of wisdom that is applicable to my life. So adjust your attitude before you get in the building. Maybe your whole family should arrive in separate cars. Maybe that would help. But somehow, or maybe sing on your way to church. Maybe put on the worship music that your family can identify with. But be ready for why and where you're coming. What's all the talk about sparrows? I found it interesting as I was welcoming folk out. We've got another nest up there in the drive-through, and the sparrows were coming through and building their nest. Just like the word says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty. We've got some church sparrows. It's a fulfillment of Scripture here. What's God talking about birds for? I think the Lord would have us widen our vision a little bit. There's beauty all around us all the time. And so often we miss it. Just this past week, several times it's happened where most of the trees in our neighborhood have lost their leaves already. But there's one or two stalwart ones that are just gorgeous, that are holding on to their leaves. And it's happened where I've come over a rise and the valley is just still lit up with color. Though the rest of the journey, all the trees were pretty much done, you get this valley full. Yesterday we turned the corner, Barb and I took a little ride, and she said, "Oh, look at that." And there in that street, there was a beautiful red tree over here and a beautiful golden one over there. And it almost takes your breath away. Unless you're worried about something, then you're kind of looking down and you're missing all this glory that's going. I can imagine that God's got all these angels around us all the time. And they're trying to distract us and they're trying to show us all the beauty that is around. You know, and we're just swimming through our day and missing it all. Hey, even the birds. Are you a bird watcher? Maybe it's my age. I used to make fun of bird watchers, but you know, we put out the bird feeder, and now we yell at one another and yell, "Hey, a goldfinch! You gotta hurry up! There's a goldfinch over here!" Yeah. Or there's a rabbit on the sidewalk. You gotta see this bunny. Come on, hurry up before it's gone. You know. Unless we become like little children, we'll never see the kingdom of God, right? So open that back up again. And maybe your day's not going so good, and maybe you got some trouble or whatever. Enjoy a walk. Or look out your picture window. Spend a little time just enjoying everything that God's doing. One of the things I love about God is even when my attitude isn't right, He's still blessing me. He's still taking care. The electric's still on. The heat is still working. The food is still delicious. All of those things. But it's better for you to realize your own stinking thinking before God has to call you up short on it. He will. He has those attitude adjusters that come in, and all of a sudden, you know, "Well, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I wasn't concentrating on things that are good." So think about it. God provides for sparrows, chipmunks, tadpoles, and grizzly bears. The Bible says He opens His hand and He feeds them all. Well, have some acorns here. I made these just for these leaves are very good. You know, koala bears only ever eat eucalyptus leaves. How would you like a diet of eucalyptus leaves all the time? Cows eat grass. Ever tried it? especially without any salad dressing on it. Lions eat their meat raw. Ooh. I thought about this. Human beings are the only creatures that have such a wide variety of foods available to us. We can do the vegetables. We can do the meat. We can grill on our grill. Don't you love to grill? Yeah. We can bake. You know, during this holiday season, you come in the door. You weren't hungry a minute before, but you are now. And it's all good. Humans enjoy the widest variety of food textures, flavors, and combinations. Across my news feed this week came a taco casserole. I read down through the ingredients and I said, that sounds good. So I made a taco casserole. I live in the shadow of Walmart, so I can do this. Ran over to Walmart, got everything I needed, taco casserole. And then while I was thinking casserole, I remember Deb Quinn had made us a zucchini casserole while Barb was recovering from, and I thought that was so good. So I made them both in one day, and the kitchen was smelling really good. You know, it was all good. But only humans can enjoy, and they're Yorkies, can enjoy that wide variety of different flavors and so on. What a blessing food is, amen? Do you like to eat? I love to eat. Amen. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. You know, if you're planning on going to heaven after this life is over, you probably ought to get used to worship, because we're going to be doing a lot of it on the other side. And I understand that for some people, it's an acquired taste. Acquire the taste, my friend. Once you acquire it, you will love it, and it'll be full and free. We have a lot of folk who come from different church backgrounds, and they're not used to a real, I don't know how to say it, expressive worship. They can go through the motions. They can follow a bulletin really well, but their heart and soul has never been in it. Now, I know some people can worship great in a liturgical church. I'm not. But a lot of people, they just thought that was snoozing time. But it's not. Learn to have a personal interaction with God during the worship time. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." I want to hurry along a little bit here. Whose strength is in you? What does that mean? You can know God, but your strength doesn't come from Him. You're still trying to do it on your own. You're trying to depend on other people. These are the people who lean into God. "Lord, I need help here. I can't do this. God, this is too big for me." Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. They're not confident in their own abilities, but certain of God's watchful eye. God's going to get me through this. He's going to help me. Whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage is when a person is on a holy venture. They're on their way somewhere because of God. They're looking forward to the destination because that's where they're going to worship the Lord. That's where they're headed in life. Where are we on our way to? We are on our way to heaven. And we are going to be with God forever. Set your heart on pilgrimage. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. But soon I'm going to be home. And it's going to be good. And I can survive a few valleys of Baca where it's all dry and hot and everything else, because it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. The story is told about a soldier who couldn't wait to get out of the army. And everywhere he went, every time he saw a piece of paper, he would pick it up and read it, and he would say, "That's not it," and he would set it down again. No matter what, with gum wrapper on the floor, whatever piece of paper, "That's not it, that's not it, that's not it." Well, his superior officer said, "This guy is something wrong with him." So he filed for a Section 8 discharge for him to be put out of the army. And he was called into the officer's office. And so he walked into the office and he picked the papers, his discharge papers, up off of the desk. He said, "That's it." And then he laid it down. What are you looking forward to? Is it, graduation, retirement? Are you living for more money? Are you looking for a better payday, a promotion of some kind? All I know is I'm not home yet. But one of these days, I'm going to be home with him. We're only here for a little while. This isn't our home. We're barely young and then we're old. Life is hard and then we die. Life is but a vapor here for a moment and then it's gone. Don't set your affections of things here on earth where moth and rust corrupt and destroy, but set your affections on the things in heaven which are eternal, which nobody can take away from us. People who focus on God cause barren places to come alive, dry places to moisten. They go from strength to strength, from victory to victory. Same journey as others are on, but one emphasizes the pain, the other the progress, the other the provision. We have a series of victories. Others only had a series of battles. Same story, different emphasis. Some only remember ever being hungry, but the others remember the meal that was so delicious. Some only remember being cold. Others remember the warmth of the fire. Some remember the poverty they lived through. Others the glory of having provision. And finally, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I don't think I can say it any better than that. Those are such precious words there. If you suddenly came into more money than you could possibly spend in 100 lifetimes, would that change your life? You think maybe just a little? Now, maybe you would still decide to live in the same house you're living in, maybe. Maybe you would decide to still drive the same car you've been driving for the last couple of years. Maybe. But I dare suspect things would change. Certainly you get a lot more phone calls than you used to get, for one thing. But if you could do anything you wanted to at any given time, woohoo! That would be pretty cool. Well, you know what? Those who are adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus have a future much brighter than Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Taylor Swift, or any lottery winner ever in all of history. We're the winners. You get to heaven. You won life. One day in heaven is worth more than 1,000 anywhere else. One day in church is worth more than 1,000 anywhere else. This is our safe place. This is our happy place. We can forget about everything else. I believe if we worship well, God takes care of all the trouble around us. It's all taken care of as we lift him up. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. So your faith fact, remember, I will worship the Lord with a thankful heart. Would you stand with me this morning? And forgive us, God, when we don't treat it like that. But oh, you're good. Hear our praise today in this season of worship. And help us, Lord. We can't get rid of those bitter roots on our own. Would you mind just bugging us about that until we allow you to do a new work in our hearts and lives? And may we our ears be open to the advice and the counsel of loved ones and friends around us. May we not get defensive and so on, but may we be a little more joyful this holiday season. May we get rid of the Grinch. May we get rid of the grump inside us, Lord, and be a little more light. Let your hearts be light, as the song says. Help us with that, Lord, because, dude, we're blessed. We are really, really blessed, and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.